Brad Hawkes, Director of Utility Engineering, Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. Cave Associates Contract Agreement Number 4.
Evening, please, John.
Good afternoon, good evening, whatever.
Good evening.
Hey, Brad.
How you doing, Brad?
Sunshine, you got your hands full.
Gentlemen, I want to talk to you some tonight about the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District and also specifically regarding amendment for Cave Associates, that's our design consultants on the project. I do want to report that the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District started accepting wastewater flows the 1st of April of this year. We have approximately 400 users connected at this point, which is pretty aggressive connection schedule. And we've been operating the system without incident since that time. There has been ongoing restoration, paving, those types of things that do continue, but the project is up and running successfully. You may remember that Mr. Izzo came before the council several months back to discuss an amendment to Cave Associates Design and Construction Administration. Council had several questions that day. There was some questions that the engineering department could not validate or substantiate, and particularly regarding the design portion. Since that time, we have gone back to Mr. Vince Robertson, the assistant county attorney, regarding contractual issues. Did Cave in any way violate our contract with exceeding the sums? Since that time, we've had several conversations with Mr. Robertson. We've had meetings with Cave Associates. Mr. Baker and Mr. Stickles have been part of at least one or more of those meetings. What we have today is essentially a balancing change order, if you will. We have reached an agreement with Cave Associates, which is for a lesser sum than what was proposed to you back in, I believe it was around the 1st of the year. We feel that all the parties feel that this is a fair and reasonable number for additional design. We also have some additional construction monies that we are proposing. And the big picture here is that their design and construction administration is within 15% of the project, the total project cost, which is our goal and a guideline given to us by Mr. Baker. So we are within that number. We are within our total budget number for the total project. But we have worked with them. I have personally reviewed timesheets and things from their company to justify the overage, to make sure we fully understood the types of hours that were spent, who spent those hours, and what they were doing. And we feel confident that we have reached a fair and reasonable agreement with them. I do have some other notes and some figures, and also have a motion if
what was the number, the figure back in December, just to give me a perspective of where we are?
Mr. Izzo presented a figure of approximately, I don't know the exact cents, but approximately $53,000 for additional design.
They wanted $53,000.
That is correct.
Okay, and where are we today?
We are requesting a number today that would be $27,000 for that design portion.
So what they were asking for 53, we basically cut it in half. And
that's pretty close.
Okay.
And we did not, after we sat down with them and agreed on a number, we did not go back and attempt to substantiate the entire 53. We reviewed timesheets till we were satisfied that it was in excess of the 27. And we felt comfortable with that, and they said that, you know, they thought it was what we were asking for was fair. They did do the work beyond the contract limit,
mm-hmm.
and there was a minimal amount of notification to the county that how much they had exceeded. We were somewhat had a little bit of a sticker shock when we had gotten their original number. So they came to the table and reduced their number, and Mr. Stickles and Mr. Baker were a part of that meeting.
I have a question.
Sure.
When contractors' charges exceed the amount, is there anything that goes out to the contractor from the county saying you've exceeded the amount? We won't be paying anymore, to bring to their attention the fact that they can't just keep doing work and later keep billing you. I mean, it seems like a one-sided way to
basically
prolong the agony for the county.
Putting them on notice, you're saying?
Generally speaking, that is correct. However, we may not know that until we get an actual invoice from the contractor, what they anticipate being paid. Sometimes you can see someone performing a task, but you didn't anticipate that they wanted to be paid a given sum. Then you see the bill, and you disagree with, you know, how they approached it. And that's very similar arrangement to what we ran into with Cave Associates. We did know that they were doing some additional level of work when the
That should be done on a change order if they're going to exceed the contract amount.
And that's what we're proposing today, an amendment to...
But I mean, before they do any additional work, they should
that,
be...
That would be correct. There should be a process to where they receive written authorization to exceed the contract value prior to them exceeding the contract value.
Why don't we put something in the specifications and in the contract itself that they cannot, will not be permitted to bill for any amount in excess of the awarded contract amount without a written change order, so that we're not defending ourselves and paying out compromise amounts?
Yeah, we do have a not to exceed, you know, statement within the contract, but physical wording that says, you know, they should not anticipate payment beyond this amount, you know, without prior written approval. Not sure we have it written quite that way.
When work is done and we benefit from that work, we have to pay for that work.
Not if it's above the contract amount, unless you have a change order. Seems to me that should be wording that is put in future contracts. I'm not talking about this one.
Yeah, our contract for professional services is, in maybe my opinion, slightly not as stringent of wording as in our our construction contracts. There's very rigid wording in there. Professional services contracts probably have a little bit more interpretation to them that maybe we need to address.
Well, we've been in court with some of these before on the same thing.
Right. And did you explain we're still under our 15% design?
Right. Yeah.
Yes, I did mention that.
Right, okay.
Right.
Right.
Just a point of interest for the future.
I'd like to stay under our 15% and stay under our legal costs for this contract also.
I could give you some good wording that would cost you a lot less than $27,000. Maybe under
$2,700. There we go. That's what I wanted.
Pick it up on the next contract after November 1st.
Oh, Lordy.
You have a motion?
Okay, you have a motion. Yeah.
Yes, sir, I do. The motion references the total value of all of their contracts, and that's why I referred to it as kind of a balancing, because it balances all the all amendments that we have with them, and it finalizes the value, and it says, be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that amendment number 4 with Cave Associates of Dover, Delaware, be approved to accommodate increased design and construction administration for the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District, thereby increasing the total contract value to $1,463,562.39.
And this is absolutely it. They understand.
I believe I got that impression from our meeting that I was in.
Maybe we should do have them sign a release.
They don't come to the
when they get when they get the money. I think that would be appropriate.
Tell me you heard the motion read by Mr. Hawks.
I just heard that problem.
That motion by Mr. Jones, second by?
Second.
Mr. Phillips. Pray the motion just read from Mr. Hawks. Questions? Knowing that this is the last funding for that. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
But a yes.
Thank you.
Grants. We have Hal Goblin. I guess it's Robin tonight. Grants.
Okay, we have two items. The Sussex Central football boosters are requesting funding for their program.
Was it 150, Dave? Or?
Well,
I apologize.
A year or a couple years ago, we gave $100, $50 for Mr. Jones and $50 for Mr. Phillips. It doesn't say an amount.
Okay. I'll make a motion. I give $100. You want to share it?
I'll give
you.
I'll get
into it. I mean, we got 350s or 300s.
250s and 100.
Okay, we got 100 for Mr. Jones, 50 for Mr. Dukes, 50 from Mr. Phillips to the Sussex Central football boosters fall program. Questions, Mr. Cole? Is this youth activity?
Big
no.
Mm-hmm.
Councilmatic.
Yeah.
Okay, Councilmatic grants. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
I voted yes.
What did I give Woodland last year?
500.
I'd like to make a motion to give Woodland 750.
Oh, going up.
Oh yeah.
Inflation.
Motion by Mr. Dukes, second by Mr.
Workman's
Commons to give $750 to Woodland Ferry Association Annual Fall Festival. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I voted yes. Mr. Griffin?
We have 16 ordinances to introduce.
16?
16.
Easy.
You ready?
Lawrence cleaned off your desk, right?
No.
Oh, yeah.
15 more.
Put them all on one morning.
An ordinance to grant a conditional.
Economy is slowing.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in the AR1 agricultural district for a deli store to be located in certain parcel of land, number 100, containing 7.4 acres.
Yes. Yes.
Steve and Wendy Mitchell, CU 1700.
Mitchell Collins.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a new and used furniture sales, thrift, shop, and office to be located on 23,899 square feet in Baltimore 100, CU 1701, Bridget Nicholson. Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a residential school and counseling facility to be located on 6.01 acres in Northwest Fork 100. It's the Shiloh House of Hope, CU 1701.
I introduce it.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 Agricultural Residential District for general offices and mini storage on 5.9 acres in Lewiston, Rehoboth 100, Sussex County. It's the application of RWR9 LLC, CU 1703.
I introduce it.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR, General Residential District, for health care and medical offices to be located on 33,045 square feet in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. It's CU 1704, PMP Associates.
I'll introduce it.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural District for warehousing, mini storage, contractor condominiums to be located on 74.04 acres in Georgetown 100, CU 1705, the Commonwealth Group. Ordinance to grant conditional use of land in an AR1 Agricultural Residential District for an automotive upholstery business to be located on 2.176 acres in Cedar Creek 100, it's CU 1706, Jack Strader.
Mr. Roger.
I introduce
it. Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a retail store and mini storage to be located on 9.47 acres in Seaford 100, the Keith Corporation, CU 1707.
I'll introduce.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a bar pit, upon reclamation to be located on 19.248 acres in Little Creek 100. It's lease of Phillips Trustees, CU 1708.
Introduce it.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a heating and air conditioning office, shop, and warehouse to be located on, looks like 2.5 acres in Little Creek 100, M&M Heating, CU 1709.
I'll introduce it.
Ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural Residential District for Real Estate Education Center and Associate Parking on 2.66 acres in Georgetown 100. It's the Sussex County Association of Realtors, CU 1710.
I introduce it.
Ordinance to grant the conditional use of land, AR1 Agricultural Residential District for Sewer Treatment Facility to be located on 13.41 acres in Dagsboro 100 by Artesian Water Company, CU 1711.
I'll introduce it.
Ordinance to grant the conditional use of land, AR1 Agricultural Residential District for a sign business, arts and crafts, and art studio to be located on 27,758 square feet in Baltimore 100. It's the application of Deborah Dean, CU 1712. Ordinance to grant the conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural Residential District for commercial storage buildings to be located on 1.22 acres. Keith Smith, CU 1713. And that is in what 100? Let's see. Baltimore.
I've had enough development.
I'll introduce it.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for a multifamily dwelling structure, 4 units, to be located on 32,653 square feet in Baltimore 100. It's CU 1714 on behalf of Bernard Dara.
I'll introduce it.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in AR1 Agricultural Residential District for an office, professional space, cafe, restaurant, and meeting place to be located on 9.25 acres in Baltimore 100. And it is CU 1715 by the Good Earth Market LLC.
I'll introduce.
Lauren, you got more next week?
Only if I type all night long.
When will these be heard?
Midnight.
This is August 8th. It will be about August next year.
Good.
Everybody.
A couple of them are May, I think. The rest of them are recent.
Let's get them on for November.
You all heard about November?
Yeah. Go ahead. Is that it? Next is the Kramer Report. Additional business for council?
No.
You're mute?
I did.
Mr. Stickles.
Mr. Baker's got something down here, Mr. President.
Mr. Baker.
I just wanted to announce that the county received a plaque in recognition of its generous support for the Senior League Softball World Series Saturday.
All
need an executive session.
Okay, so we're not going to have the executive session to possibly sue Mr. Kramer.
I make a motion to adjourn on time.
Buy his land.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Duke. Second, by Mr. Schultz right to adjourn at 19:35 hours. Questions? All favor, signify by saying aye.
We need to commend Mr. Rogers for getting here on time and getting the meeting done on time. So proud.